settlement is reached in the Kluckwan bankruptcy case, and trying to dissect the science of cruise ship wastewater. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A settlement has been reached in the bankruptcy case against the local native corporation, Kluckwan Inc. According to court documents filed this week, the new board of directors at Kluckwan Inc. mediated a settlement with its main debtor, Travelers Insurance, for just over $1 million, substantially less than the nearly $8 million Travelers said it was owed. The settlement includes the sale of four pieces of Kluckwan property near Haines. Kluckwan attorney Cabot Christensen, in a court filing, wrote that a mediation occurred on January 27th, a Sunday, between four of the five new board members of Kluckwan Inc., including board president Rosemary Hotch, their attorney, attorneys and representatives for Travelers, a trustee of the Kluckwan Trust, and attorney for Kluckwan Trust. Retired Superior Court Judge Patricia Collins acted as mediator. Christensen writes that at the meeting, Kluckwan made an offer, and 2 days later, Travelers accepted. A copy of the letter from Travelers accepting the offer was included in the court filing. In it, Kluckwan agrees to pay Travelers just over $1 million, including a down payment, and then $175,000 annually for the next 5 years. Kluckwan also agrees to sell four pieces of property to help cover the payments. In a letter about the settlement, Travelers attorney Charles Evans writes that the three Jones Point properties and Tank Farm property will be sold by Kluckwan. The Jones Point property are near where the previous Kluckwan office building is, and the Tank Farm property is located across the street from the former Chilkat Express boat dock on Beach Road. Travelers agrees to release a levy on the payments Kluckwan receives from its regional native corporation, Sea Alaska, called 7J Payments. It was the issue of these payments that prompted Kluckwan to file an adversary action or countersuit against Travelers in August. Travelers was attempting to put a lien on the payments Kluckwan receives from Sea Alaska. Kluckwan management and their attorneys at the time of that filing said the liens were not allowed under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. In the settlement, Travelers agrees to release those liens and Kluckwan agrees to dismiss its adversary action. The bankruptcy case was unique in the issue it raised about the Native Corporation's 7J payments, but it also was contentious, not as much between Travelers and Kluckwan, but among shareholders and board members of the corporation. During the course of the bankruptcy case, a judge ruled that the board of directors headed by President Ralph Strong were not valid directors, and instead, a different board, headed by Rosemary Hotch, was identified as the valid management. When the new board of directors took over, it shut the local offices of the corporation and laid off staff. Shareholder records were moved to Hotch's Anchorage home. An Anchorage address was recently entered in court records as the new address of the corporation. Court documents state a recall election was held January 26 to remove the new directors. It's unclear what the outcome of that election was, if there was a quorum of shareholders, or if it might affect the settlement. Hotch has said previously it's not board policy to comment publicly on corporation business. She did not return an email asking for more information or a response to the settlement on Wednesday. Attorneys for Travelers said they could not comment as well. Christensen, the attorney for Kluckwan, writes in court documents that the corporation is in the process of drawing up the official settlement agreement and is working toward a dismissal of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy case. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, and on the agenda is discussion of extending the contract for the interim manager. Tom Healy has been working as Skagway's interim manager while the municipality searched for a permanent hire. The municipality did offer the job to a candidate after a round of interviews in January, but that person turned the job down. The search committee said it would review the applicant pool again and reopen the position to new applicants. Healy's contract is set to end on February 15th, unless the Assembly decides differently on Thursday. The Assembly will have a first reading of an ordinance that would no longer require the public to vote on proposed leases of municipal land. Current code requires a lease worth more than $250,000 to be ratified by voters. Healy suggested this code change at a previous meeting. He said removing the vote requirement would save time and eliminate uncertainty for companies and entities trying to negotiate public lands leases with the municipality. Healy said he believes there are other provisions that protect the public interest in lease negotiations without the need for a public vote. Healy's manager report for the meeting also includes information about the wastewater treatment plant project. The assembly is also set to discuss an agreement with architects for a schematic design of a new public safety facility. A complete meeting agenda and packet is available online at skagway.org. The meeting is 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. A bill sponsored by Governor Sean Parnell to relax cruise ship wastewater standards passed the House this week. A similar measure is nearing a floor vote in the Senate. In committee hearings on Senate Bill 29 and House Bill 80, much of the testimony is focused around a preliminary report by the Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel. The report concludes that cruise ships have gone as far as possible toward meeting the state standards, and that there's little benefit to the environment to be gained, even by spending millions more on technology. A member of the majority opinion on the Science Advisory Panel stands by that claim. But Haines resident and co-author of the 2006 ballot initiative which imposed the standards disputes it. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Haines resident Gershon Cohen's background is in molecular biology. He's frustrated by how proponents of the bills are framing their argument.
Well, the department's trying to say that they're doing this on the basis of the best science, and that's completely backwards. The best science are the water quality standards. Those are the limits that have been found through scientific experimentation to provide protection for fish or humans or whatever standard you're using.
In this case, the standard is for marine organisms. Cohen calls the administration's effort to relax wastewater standards risk management, not science.
That's black and white world. And we don't live in a black and white world.
Sitkin Steve Reifenstuhl has been on the Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel since 2009.
It's important to look at the context. If we applied these standards to the city of Sitka, the Blue Lake Dam would look like it was cheap.
Blue Lake is priced at roughly $140 million, the most expensive project in Sitka's history. Reifenstuhl is a biologist and a pragmatist.
The effluent and the waiver that every city's gotten that lives that's on the ocean from Anchorage to Ketchikan puts out way more effluent on them and even the metals. They didn't even have to document nickel and zinc. But in copper, ammonia, I mean, it's many times what the cruise ships put out.
Gershon Cohen was initially appointed to the Science Advisory Panel, but his name was pulled 3 weeks before the group convened because of opposition from the industry, he says. Cohen, who co-wrote the language in the initiative that created the panel, says it was supposed to be looking at alternative technologies like reverse osmosis.
And they ended up spending a lot of their time talking about how they were going to change the rule and whether or not the discharges that are there now are okay and whether or not the equipment there is satisfactory. And that wasn't supposed to be what they were supposed to be doing.
Cohen says there is no recognized standard for advanced wastewater treatment systems used by cruise ships. He calls AWTS a public relations term. The bills before the House and Senate would sample wastewater not at the point of discharge, but in a mixing zone outside the ship. Proponents say this is what coastal cities do. Cohen says ships are cities that move.
You can't survey what the water quality and what the organisms are like before, during, and after the discharge. So there will be absolutely no accountability.
Reifenstuhl says cruise ships have been towing the line since the late 1990s following a series of egregious discharge violations. He suggests they're less accountable than the rest of us for the cleanliness of the water.
So if you just look at the million people that visit Alaska on cruise ships every year, 70% of those, 700,000, times the 5 days they're in Alaska, compared to the 700,000 citizens of Alaska that are here for 365 days a year, you do the math on that, which I've done, and it's 20 times more.
As general manager of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, Reifenstuhl has a vested interest in fisheries. He's visited several ships and seen the effluent that's discharged. It often looks clear, but heavy metals wouldn't color a glass of water. I asked him, what if a cruise ship discharged in front of Bear Cove, where Ensaraz Medvici Hatchery sits just outside of Sitka? He said this was already happening in Juneau, where every ship calls.
There's 15 million chum salmon, there's Chinook salmon, and there's coho salmon released right there. So that's very close. and those fish are going to swim right by the cruise ships. There's also, you know, 100 million chum salmon released just north of Gatineau Channel. And so those fish are in those waters. So would I be comfortable, as long as it's sort of what's happening in the Juneau waterfront, I would be comfortable.
Cohen says the passage of the bills would be a setback to Alaska's image and provide a toehold for the farmed fish industry.
So much for Alaska producing fish that's coming from pristine water. I think it's a serious mistake, and it's basically just caving into an industry demand that's absolutely unnecessary.
The 191-page report from the Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel is preliminary and references about 500 pages of data. Reifenstuhl thinks the panel could meet for at least another 2 years to finish its work. He welcomes peer review of the group's findings. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Don't forget to join us Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town with host Deborah Schnabel. She and her guests will be discussing how our community decides development issues. That's Talk Around Town, Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. Thanks for joining us for your local news on your community radio station. We appreciate your support.